When we look at the first reading, there's a lot of joy in here. You know, here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. And so in here we realize that God is there to help us. He's not the guide of the lightning bolt. He's actually there to help us. And he comes to save us. Now, as Americans, we kind of look around and we say, okay, from what? What is the pressing need? What is he saving us from? And really, what it does, he comes to save us basically from ourselves. We look at the injustice of the world, how we see in the second reading. We're called to serve others. And of course, Jesus heals this man. But there's even something more. He saves us from our very own selves. See, a lot of times we are our worst own enemy. We are harder on ourselves. But there's also something that the saints talked about, that especially in today's culture, we've probably never heard of it. At least if we have, it's been a long time. It's the difficulty with our passions, how we let our emotions get the best of us many times. And when we sin, when we do something we regret, why do we do it? Usually our emotions get the best of us. We get in an argument, something like that, and we blurt out something we don't even really think about. It's just an emotion just came out, and we really don't think that. And many times it can be other things. Could be a high-pressure car sales, right? We look at the sales gimmick. We look at the TV. They don't want us to think. They want us to impulse buy things, right? So everything has to be quick. You even got a lot of commercials that actually has nothing to do with the product. It's just something funny to put out there to get that warm feeling, and then they put their logo on there, and then you subliminally attach the warm feeling to that logo. It's about the emotions to get you to do what they want you to do, buy their product. You know, how many of us have bought things we regretted because it was a high-pressure sales and the emotions were there and we impulse bought? You know, we get suckered into that. Or we did something we regret and we're like, oh man, why did I do that? I didn't even think this. How did that even come out of it? It's the emotions. It's the passions. And so we got to keep our passions in check. And this is counterintuitive to our society as an American culture. Not only is it in the commercials, but look at all the big hoopla people in society, you know, those in Hollywood. Oh, follow your emotions, do whatever you want. And it's even in, like, when you look at some of the animal activist people. We got to take care of the environment and the animals. That's a good thing. But what I hear is, well, they're people too. Okay, why? How did you come to that conclusion? Well, they have emotions too. That's it. A lot of people seem to think that what makes them human is their emotions. No, that's incorrect. It's our will that makes us who we are. We can choose to do something against our nature. We sin. Animals don't sin. We don't look to our dog and say, that animal sinned. They don't choose to do something against their own nature and offend people that way. But other people sin against us. They offend us. So it's not the emotions that make us more human. We've attuned ourselves so much to emotions, it becomes imbalanced. Our emotions are not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing if it's honed in to where it's supposed to be. And so when you look at society, I'll give you two questions. And it's amazing the question here is, think about this. When somebody is talking to you about something and they ask you, well, what do you think about that? And another question might be, well, what do you feel about that? To us as an American culture, that means the exact same thing. They're very different questions. What do you think about that? The intellect. What do you feel about that? Because today, and especially as we should know, what we think and what we feel doesn't necessarily jive with each other. They don't go together necessarily. But we think of them as the same thing. We're thinking of them all more of how do you feel? Well, what do you think about that? And people, what do? They give their emotional response. It's even gone so far as I talked to one guy who is an atheist. I thought it was very interesting on this, especially coming from somebody who is an atheist. You would think somebody from an atheist is pure logical. Give me the facts. Give me the concrete, something solid. Give me that. Well, his response was not that at all. In my discussion with him, he said, logic is a conjuring up of humanity. Let me repeat that. It took me a while to absorb that. Logic, reason, is a conjuring up of humanity. This is actually what he said. This wasn't intuitive. He actually consciously said this. He believed that all reality is based on our emotions. And there is no problem with direct contradiction. The reason why we have a hard time with contradiction is he thought that our minds were too small. You got to expand your mind to be able to accept contradictions. This is the perfect excuse for any kind of denial that you could possibly need. You can't even reason with a person because reason is useless, though he reasons himself, contradicts himself by using reasoning to do that. This is kind of like the pathway we're going. We think emotions tell us what to do. Obey your thirst. If it feels good, do it. Rather, what we're supposed to do is, first of all, educate ourselves. The powers of the soul. St. Thomas Aquinas talked about we have the intellect, the passions, and the will. These are the powers of the soul. This is what our soul is consistent of. And the way God created us to be. Now, we're not this way because of the fall of Adam and Eve. We're disintegrated. But in the integrated state of Adam and Eve, the intellect guided the passions, and so we will it. Give an example of this. First of all, our intellect is guided towards what is true. What is the truth? See, like water freezing at 32 degrees. That's a truth. Our mind, our intellect, discovers that truth, and we realize just simply water freezes at 32 degrees. Our emotions are our experience of that truth. If it's 20 degrees out, I don't want it water to freeze at 32 degrees. I want it to feel warmer. So I can't cross my arms and say, well, my emotions don't like this, so therefore I'll make water freeze at 0 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, it just doesn't work. Reality is reality. Truth is truth. I can't make that. Truth is not relative or subjective. It's reality. And now I use what I have around me in that reality. My emotions give me the strength to use that reality to get where I need to go. And so I don't like being cold. What do? My emotions give me the strength, the will in that, of the will in that, to go get a coat, to turn on the furnace. And even it might be giving me enough, the passions might give me enough to do a little bit of scientific work to make a furnace. It gives me that perseverance, hopefully, as long as my intellect is involved into it, and I will it. So there is a place in our lives to be able to do it, and that shows how integrated the intellect, the passions, and the will work together for a greater good. As opposed to when we justify ourselves. One of the biggest tricks of the devil is to get you to do something first without thinking. Now you've entered into it passionately, but you haven't thought about it. But now that you've done it, the guilt sets in. The devil points the finger, oh, you're an evil person because you just did this. Now in our own minds, we have to justify what we do. So now our intellect is involved in justifying our passions. And so it locks us in and we're not able to listen. We're not able to listen to God and to his ways. This is the biggest trick of the devil. I'll give you the classic example, abortion. Abortion pinpoints on a woman's emotions to get them to fear. If there was no fear, good chance 99% of those abortions would have never happened. When you look at Planned Parenthood pamphlets, it focuses on fear. It's an emotion. Emotions can't tell us what is true. It's our experience of the truth. When I meet somebody, maybe they come and sock me across the face. I get anger. My anger is the experience of the hitting across the face, but it's not the hitting across the face itself. And so that's where we have to understand that, get rid of that cloudiness of mind. Our passions, when we allow our passions to overcome our intellect in that way, our thinking becomes distorted. We start to judge other people when we don't have the facts. And therefore, we start to gossip. You see how our passions trip us up all the time. And this is why we have a Savior. A Savior who says, the truth will set you free. Now, I find this ironic with this man who is atheist. An atheist who does not believe in logic. If you do not believe in logic, how can you believe in science? Aren't atheists supposed to believe in science? Objective truth? When we look at truth, whether it's physical science or spiritual truths, they're all the same because God created them both, and God cannot contradict himself. Science will point towards God. Now, as a scientist, think about this. If you're an atheist scientist and you truly believe with all your heart that there is nothing outside of yourself, there is absolutely no God. If you can put that in, if you can wrap your mind around that, if you were to think that there is no God, there is no judge, and there is nothing that I will be accountable to after my death. Even if I grew up in a Christian home or in a home that teaches morals, if I have somebody coming to me or someone coming to you and they want you to suppress a truth, political correctness, great example today. Somebody is saying, you know, I am going to harm you. I am not going to allow you to have a job if you bring this truth out and let society know about this truth. Now, thinking of somebody where all there is in the world and that person, the greater power, has more authority. Might is right. Hitler taught that. That's where we start to go. Are you going to stand up and are you still going to proclaim the truth if your life is threatened, if your children's life are threatened, if there's no great And if there's nothing outside of you to help you, to guide you, more than likely not. More than likely, you'll cave in and say, you know what, I'll suppress this truth. This is what's going on in science today. They're slowly abandoning logic. Atheism is slowly abandoning logic and preferring their emotions. This has been happening since the Romance Age, which, oddly enough, starts at the same time as the Enlightenment. Those who refuse to believe God. You see, if our emotions are the means by which we experience things, we are going to be confused with the reality itself because it's so close to us, it's inside of us. We let our, you know, maybe we're getting having too much of a good time. We get happy. We see this with our kids. They're running around. Woohoo! Great! And then, you know, they break their arm or something, you know. They fall and trip or, you know, do something dumb and or just get in an accident. Okay, they did something unwise. Why? Because the emotions were taken over. And so, what do we have to do with that? Pray. You see, it's our faith that keeps us geared towards truth. If there is no higher being that keeps us on task, that we're accountable to, what is it? And even in science, if I know that water freezes at 32 degrees, it sets me free so that I can make a refrigerator, so that I can have nice cold water in the middle of 100 degree weather. And in that way, the truth sets us free. But in the mindset of all reality is based on emotions, the truth is oppressive. Because my emotions don't necessarily intersect with the truth. And that's why it starts to be oppressive. And that's why, as a Catholics particularly, we understand that science is not contradictory to faith, but science is in harmony with faith, particularly our faith, because our faith was founded by Jesus Christ himself, God, the creator of the universe, the creator of us, who made us the way we are, the holy sacred temple of God that we are, who gave us the intellect, the passions, and the will, so that we can have an integrated act, an integrated spirituality, an integrated emotional life. It stabilizes us. It keeps us grounded. That's the freedom of truth. This is why God saves us from ourselves. Because by ourselves, our emotions would take over in a heartbeat. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He comes to save us. To save us from our own selves, from our own designs, from our own whims, from our own regrets.